The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Or as one translation reads, for the Word of God is a living thing. Welcome, and thank you for joining us here at Church on the North Coast as we listen to another exciting, anointed message from the Word of God. And now, God's messenger for today.
Good evening, everybody. Praise the Lord. Oh, that was pretty weak. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. You know, the Thessalonians tells us that God sanctifies us body, soul, and spirit. How many believe that? Amen. Say with me, Jesus is Lord over my body. Jesus is Lord over my soul. And Jesus is Lord over my spirit. Amen. You believe that? Amen. I believe that. You know, when you confess that Jesus is Lord, that means He controls my body. He controls all the functions in my body. And I submit it to Him. And on a regular basis, I think that's important that you do that in the morning as you pray. Say, Father, I thank You that my body functions and operates according to Your creative power. That no malfunction will occur in my systems today. Regardless of what system it is, it'll function the way You designed it. You know, often I'll do that when I get on an airplane. I say, Lord, I thank You that this plane will fly according to its engineering and design. There will be no malfunctions, no blown out tires. There'll be no problems while I'm on that plane. Praise God. And so why do you pray that way? Because I believe that whatsoever things you declare, right, that it has to obey. It has to line up in Jesus' name. How many know that timing is everything in life? Do you know that? Go to Ecclesiastes with me, chapter 3, verse 17. Is this going to work now? The green light. There we go. Here we go. Can I throw this down to you? Can you catch that? All right. Good man. Good man. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And let's look at verse 1, I guess. We'll start right at the beginning of that chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to every purpose under the heaven. Drop down to verse 17 with me. Verse 17, same chapter, Ecclesiastes 13. And His days, wait a minute, I'm in chapter 5, hold on, get back to chapter 3. Verse 17, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. There is a time there. Let me read in the Amplified Bible. God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time appointed for every matter and purpose and for every work. Now watch this. Every matter in your life, every purpose, every work, God has an appointed time for it. Have you ever seen these programs where the commandos hit the beach and they're about to overtake a particular stronghold and they'll say, synchronize your watch? Have you ever seen them do that? And they're all looking at, you know, 2,200 hours to make sure they're all on the same time frame. Why is that? Because the detonator, the one that's going to do the explosive, is supposed to engage the explosive at 2,230 hours. And everybody else is supposed to be in their position at 2,230 hours. And so what happens is if their watch is 30 minutes behind, everybody's in position waiting for the kaboom, and there's no kaboom. And as a result, the enemy finds out their position and defeats them. So timing is important. So every matter, every purpose, every work in our life, there is an eternal time clock. So what we've got to do is synchronize our time with God's clock. Does that make sense to us? Because there are some things in our life that we want to have happen now, and it may not be God's time. And believe me, you do not want to operate outside the timing of God. Because I believe to manifest the supernatural, We've got to learn to follow what I like to call this, you might want to write it down, divine signals in life. Now we're continuing our supernatural lifestyle series. This is number 85 or something in the series. We've been doing it quite a while. But to learn to follow divine signals that indicate the right time for what God wants to do. Now if you go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verses 1 to 8, you'll see there's a time for everything on the earth. But after doing all that you and I have to do, we need to go back and ask God, say, okay, God, is this your timing for this? I don't want to step out on my own. Because when I step out on my own, self is elevated. Self-will begins to lead. Self-will, W-I-L-L, self-will will take you down a path of destruction. God will take you down a path of victory. So we've got to be very careful that we don't manipulate the clock. That we don't manipulate the clock. I like what Troy was talking about this particular game. And when the Cavaliers scored that point and came up 1 point ahead, there was still nearly 1 second left on the clock. But in the panic of the moment, the other team took the ball out underneath the basket instead of calling a timeout, which would advance the ball halfway closer to their goal. But in panic, they took matters into their own hands and didn't wait for the timing to work for them. As a result, they lost the game. You say, well, they probably wouldn't have made that shot anyway. Well, we don't know that. Being 50 feet closer, there would have been a chance that would have been proved the percentages of that ball going in that hoop. So see, timing is everything in life. And so we don't want to become motivated by self-will. We want to remain motivated by God-will. Now let me show this to you in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 12. Numbers 22 and verse 12. We want to look for divine signals in life. And we're going to identify what some of those are here in just a moment. But Numbers chapter 22... and verse 12 is a story of Balaam. Balak had called Balaam a prophet. Balaam was a prophet, called Balaam, asked him to curse Israel, that he had the power to curse. And he said, I want you to curse Israel. And God told Balaam that you will not curse Israel. And so here's where we pick up the story in verse 12. And God said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. So he was asked to curse Israel. And God said, no, you cannot curse what I blessed. I don't want you to go with them. End of story. How many know that when God says it's not time for you to do something, you better listen? All right? But what happened was Balaam had what I call a hidden agenda. A hidden agenda. He had motivation in his heart that was not on the surface. It was underlying motivation. His eyes were on the money. He wanted to be promoted in himself. So let's continue to look at this story. Look at verse 19. We drop down a few verses, Numbers chapter 22. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye here also this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. In other words, Balaam said, look, okay, you ask me again. God said no, but I'll tell you what. Let me go back to God and ask him if I can do it again. How many know that God's already said don't do it? So Balaam says, well, you know what? Let me go back and ask again, because this money is very tempting to me. I want to be able to get this prestige. I want to be able to help you out. So I'm going to go back and ask God. Maybe he's changed his mind over the last 24 hours. And some of us often take that posture. We think that God might have changed his mind over the last week. When God said no last week, and we think, well, 6 days later, maybe he was confused on that day. Maybe he'll change his mind. So Balaam goes back and asks the Lord, can I go and do this assignment that Balak is asking me to do? Look at verse 21, and actually verse 19, and God said in verse 20, and God came to Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. Then we read in verse 21, and Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Now, God's anger was kindled because he went. Now, isn't that something that when we miss the timing of the Lord and we manipulate things and we do self-will rather than God's will, and then all of a sudden we feel like we've got the blessing of God, so we end up going ahead and pursuing the thing. Little do we know, God's anger is kindled behind the scenes toward us. So how do we determine if it is God's timing for us to engage in a particular thing? There, we know that there's a time for every matter, for every work and every purpose on the earth. But how do I know? When do I figure it out? How do I know that God says, yes, this is the time for us to engage? See, the divine signals that Balaam had received were ignored. First of all, he got a word from the Lord that said, don't go. When we get a word from the Lord out of the Bible, we get a word from God that says, this is what I want you to do, and we ignore that word, that's the first divine signal. The second divine signal that he ignored, and I won't read the whole text, but how many know that his donkey tried to give him a signal? He was anointed. How many know that was an anointed donkey? He was riding this donkey, and his donkey kept trying to stop him so that he wouldn't pursue his self-will. He was trying to spare him, even to the point where he brushed him up against the wall and crushed his foot, and Balaam started beating the donkey, and God gave a voice to the donkey, and he said, dude, what are you doing? I'm trying to save your scrawny little life. You know, sometimes God will put resistance, and we're always blaming the devil for it. And here it is, it's not the devil, it's God saying you're out of timing. And we're trying to push the thing through because we want to get it done now. And God's saying, no, you're not hearing the divine signals. I'm telling you, you're ahead of schedule. This is not what I want you to do. So God caused a donkey to turn around and open up his mouth. Then the Bible says God opened up Balaam's eyes, and what did he see? He saw the angel of the Lord with the sword drawn and said, I'm going to cut your head off if you come any further. Now notice something back in verse 21. It's like God said, all right, go. Why would God have said to Balaam, all right, go, if he never really wanted him to go and he was mad about his going? That's a peculiar thing. I asked myself, why is it that God said, all right, Balaam, you asked me once, I told you no. You asked me twice, I told you no. You asked me three times, I said, all right, go ahead, but don't curse Israel. Then you go, and now I'm mad. God's mad at me, but you said I could go. Why would God be mad? But then why would God let me go? And then he tries to kill me with a donkey, and then there's a sword of the Lord hanging out there. After you said, all right, go, now you're trying to tell me I should have never went. Can't you make up your mind? God said, I've made up my mind. You're not hearing divine signals. So we've got to tune in to divine signal. What is divine signal? The word of the Lord that comes to us. It's prayer. It's an inner witness. It's a confirmation word from a spiritual authority. It's a prophetic utterance that'll come forth. And maybe it'll be a donkey that'll get a voice. The most unpeculiar thing in your life may begin to talk to you, may begin to speak to you. It could be a sign on the side of a truck that could have a couple of words that you've been praying about. And you're saying, well, I remember when Bruce Neubauer was praying about whether he should go to Alaska for a missions work or missions thing. And we kept praying, should I go to Alaska, should I not? I said, well, you got to ask God. And finally, you know what the last confirmation was? He was in a traffic jam. You remember this? And there was this huge truck in front of him, and it said Alaskan salmon on the back of it. And he looked up there, and he read that, and he said, God spoke to me and said, I told you to go to Alaska. Now, how many more times do I have to bring a truck or whatever else to get you to understand it's time for you to go? It's all, that was ridiculous. Now, it would have been if it was the only signal that he got. But he had gotten numbers of confirmations. How many know everything ought to be established in the mouths of two or three witnesses? So now I have confidence in my going because I've got divine signals. I'm tuned in. I'm hearing God. But man, you don't want to move out unless you get these divine signals that you're hearing the voice of the Lord. You're hearing the word of the Lord in regards to whether or not you should go. If you go in God's will or you're going in self-will. You and I do not want to go in self-will. Now go over to Numbers chapter 22 again. And let me read verse 31 in the Amplified Bible, Numbers chapter 22 and verse 31. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. He saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed his head and he fell on his face. He bowed his head and he fell on his face. Look at verse 32. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? See, I come out to stand against you and resist you. For your behavior is willfully obstinate and contrary before me. That's an interesting point. Contrary behavior. When I begin to live my life that's contrary to what God has signaled me. You can't imagine what it would be like in a football game if the quarterback called a play and on the signal, everybody else didn't listen. They would continually be penalized because they're not in sync with the signal. We are a prophetic generation. We are people that have to hear the voice of the Lord. We need to look for confirmation. We need to look for these divine signals, or we don't move in the things of God. We don't move in business. We don't move in marriage. We don't move in relationships. We don't move in various aspects of life until we get a signal from the Lord. Because we're Spirit-led, Spirit-filled people. Amen? Amen. So we see that contrary behavior, his failure to listen to divine signal. That's what contrary behavior is. He figured out a way to do what Balak wanted and still not curse Israel. Did you know people who have a hidden agenda, who really are not trying, they're not doing this for God, but they really got a hidden agenda, whether they have a motivation inwardly they don't want anybody to know about, but their ultimate end is what they hope that will come to pass. So they kind of present to you a false front to get your support so that they can then get what they want at the end of it. That's a hidden agenda. And Balaam had a hidden agenda. You know what it was? Money. He had a hidden agenda. He was offered a lot of money to do what Balak wanted. He wanted Balaam to curse Israel because Israel was coming forth into the land of Moab, and he said, I want you to curse them and I want you to cause them to fail. And then God says, you can't curse what I've blessed. And then he missed the divine signals. But then here's what Balaam did. He justified his going by changing the program. His motive was the same. His hidden agenda was still there. He said, all right, I won't curse them. I'll let them curse themselves. Here's what you do. You bring these women into the camp, and the men will be tempted to have relationships with them. They'll intermarry, and they'll have children outside of covenant. They'll produce life outside of their covenant. So Balaam instructed Balak to bring the finest of women into the camp of Israel and cause them to sin. Now, why did he do that? Because he knew that he couldn't curse him because God said, don't curse him. So we found an end around. He found a way around the Word of God. He found a way that he could justify continuing to do what he wanted to do in spite of all the divine signals that said, don't do it. And so as a result, Israel embraced Balaam's ideas. And that's why in Revelation, there is such a warning about the sin of Balaam. And the sin of Balaam is present in the church in this hour. It is a hidden agenda, self-will, self-promoted, eyes on the natural, eyes on what can benefit me, faking you out to have a hidden agenda to move into a local church or move into a marital relationship or a relationship with a woman. Let me tell you something, ladies. Do not be deceived. You've got to listen to the divine signal. And if you don't get a divine signal, you don't hike him the ball. You hear what I'm saying? Because they're coming in with a hidden agenda. They'll tell you how much they love God. They'll speak in tongues. They'll come to church with you as long as they get what they want. And it's not necessarily a band on their finger. Okay? So his eyes were on the money. His real motivation was a hidden agenda. How many know that God is a kind of God that if you push him enough, he'll give you what you want? If you really want it, God will say, all right, go. You want to go? Go. Now let's look at this for a minute. Go to Psalm 106 and verse 15. How many know that Israel pushed God? Because they didn't listen to divine signal. Verse 15. Israel began desiring meat. And they forgot the works of the Lord. And God gave them their request. But look at verse 15. And God gave them their request, but sent what? Leanness into their souls, thinned their numbers by disease and death. So now, living in the supernatural, if you and I are going to live in the supernatural, we've got to learn to hear the divine signal. Why? Because there's too much at stake. If we promote self, and we'll even deceive ourselves. We'll even deceive ourselves because we went back to God a second time and we felt a release in our soul. But it wasn't God's Spirit speaking to it. It was God saying, fine, you want to do it? Go ahead and do it. Because He's the kind of God that is not going to usurp your will. If you push God long enough in a situation, He's going to let you do it to your own destruction. In other words, He'll give it to you, but He'll send leanness to your soul. And as a result, disease and sickness and trouble will come upon you. Go over to Psalm 78, verse 29. Psalm 78, verse 29. Psalm 78, verse 29. The Bible says, so they did eat and were filled, and He gave them what they craved and lusted after. He gave them what they craved and what they lusted after. See, we've got to be very careful that we don't push God into a corner. Make God give us what we want. Because it may be the very thing that'll bring destruction to us. How many remember the story of Jonah and the whale? Okay. Jonah was assigned by God through divine signal to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was a notorious, rebellious, sin-ridden nation that had exploited the nation of Israel time and time again. They were noted for their cruelty with their prisoners, even to the point where they would fillet a man or a woman alive and torture them to death that way. It was the most painful death, and they were very skilled at being able to take a person's skin layer off with a scalpel. Many of the Israelites had experienced this kind of suffering at the hand of the Ninevites. Now God comes to an Israelite and says, I want you to go, watch this, I want you to go and preach to them repentance so they can go to heaven. Now, you understand why Jonah said, I'm out of here. I'm going to Tarshish. You know, it's amazing what God will do through us sometimes. He will raise us up. Since we have been victimized by the very same thing that He calls us to go now and minister to. And we're thinking, wait a minute, God, you've got to be kidding me. I'll do anything, but I'm not doing that. You better listen to divine signal. Or you're going to have a whale of a time, let me tell you right now. So he didn't listen to divine signal. What did he end up doing? He ended up going to Tarshish. They ended up going into a storm. The guys began to pray, what's going on? They cast lots, it's you. What have you done? Where are you from? What's your name? We're hearing from God. You're the issue here. You can't hide out. He said, just throw me overside. Throw me over. And he threw him over. The whale got him, brought him back. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And Jonah this time said, you know, I think I'll go to Nineveh. I think I'll go to Nineveh. Sometimes we have to go into the belly of a whale to get our hearing cleared up. To get our hearing cleared up. Psalm 23 and verse 1, what does it say? The Lord... Say it with me. The Lord is my... I want. Want for what? You see, I believe that when the Lord leads, you won't lack in the supernatural. When the Lord is calling the signals, you will operate in the supernatural. I believe that God will begin to work on your behalf, and He'll use natural elements like a donkey to begin to talk to you and move you into a place of blessing. What seems to be on the interim, a curse or a difficulty, will turn around for your good if you'll just listen for divine signal along the way. That God behind the scenes has begun working out situations for your life. But we can't take matters into our own hands. It's real easy to do that. Abraham did that with Sarah. He didn't have a child, so what did he do? He said, you know, I got to make a baby here. And any man can make a baby. It's a natural law. Sperm and egg, boom, you made a baby. But how many know that that was not God's plan, nor was it God's time? God has a time for every what? Purpose, every work, every matter on the earth. He has a time for it. So what we have to do is we have to say, okay, God, is this your time for this? Is this your timing? If the clock of God, His alarm has gone off, hey man, I've got to be obedient to this. I've got to deal with this. I've got to work with this issue. Whether that's relational, family, whether that's in business, whether it's in finances, we want to hear the leading of the Lord. Go back to Numbers chapter 9. Let's talk a little bit about hearing the divine signal and the results of it. Look at verse 15. Numbers chapter 9 and verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. This was the tabernacle in the wilderness. The nation of Israel had erected it under God's command. Moses had built it from the commands of the Lord. And so what happened is that there was a cloud by day and fire by night, right? Look at the next verse. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day, the appearance of fire by night. Verse 17. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, what would that be? That would be what I call a divine signal. What was the cloud? The cloud was what? Taken up. The cloud moved, right? So the cloud moved. Then after the children of Israel journeyed in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. When the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. According to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode even from until the morning, and the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle remaining there, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. And when it was taken up, they journeyed. Now, why would God spend so much time talking about when the cloud was there, whether it was a day, whether it was 2 weeks, or whether it was a year? They journeyed not. But when the cloud moved, and he was over and over and over, he is emphasizing the fact that if you and I are going to enter into the promises of God's supernatural provision, we've got to hear divine signal. And we don't move until we get it. When we get it, we move. And we don't wait for anybody. We move. But when we don't get it, we stay put. Verse 23, and at the commandment of the Lord, they rested in tents. At the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord and the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. How many know that they eventually got into the promised land? So we recognize something as a result of waiting for divine signal. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, here are some of the benefits. Here are some of the blessings that you can expect of divine signal when the cloud moves and you move, or when the cloud rests and you stay. When you don't have a hidden agenda, and you don't try to manipulate God, and you don't try to force things, because God will give what? He'll give you what you want if you push Him, but He'll send leanness to your soul. I don't want a lean soul. Because as my soul prospers, so will I. So if I have leanness in my soul, sickness and disease can be my best friend. Lack and poverty will be upon me. I don't want to push God. I don't want to manipulate God. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. I want to follow the signals of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, look at verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God and led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep the commandments or not. You know, sometimes God causes the cloud to move and then stops it and then gets it to move again just to see whether or not you're listening. You say, God, I don't understand this. Here we are moving forward, and it seems like we're going forward. Now all of a sudden everything stopped dead in the water. What's going on? And we become impatient. God says, I just want to see what was in your heart. I just want to prove now your heart. I wanted to see where you're at. Are you tuned into the divine signal? Are you only tuned in when things are moving? Or are you tuned in as much as if we're standing still? So we see in verse 2, to know what was in your heart. So sometimes God will send a divine signal, and then suddenly you won't be hearing anything. You go, God, what are you doing? And He's saying, I'm just wanting to know whether or not you're still committed. How many are still committed to Jesus? Amen. I know you are. Look at verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And He humbled thee, suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither thy fathers knew, that they might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So all of a sudden now, when God speaks and they move, they didn't have time to plant crops. They didn't have time to get their cattle together. They didn't have time to get all their provisions. And suddenly now, well, God is moving. He said, God, did you forget that I have some needs here? I mean, I can't just keep following you. What about me? And God said, don't worry about that, because I'm going to teach you that manna comes from heaven. I'm going to provide that for you. But that's really not the issue. My provision is not the issue. The key that I want you to learn in this divine signal is that man does not live by bread alone or provision, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You can live on what God is saying to you tonight. The divine signals of God about your marriage, about your business, about your finance, about your health, they are provision. They are bread. That is the word of the Lord. And so, guys, I want you to learn this, that you can live on the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then in verse 4, Deuteronomy chapter 8, another benefit. That the raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. In other words, God said, listen, if you listen to divine signal, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to make things work for you. In other words, your clothes will not wear out. And your feet will not swell. Now, can you imagine walking in the desert for 40 years? Sometimes they were gone for it says if the cloud stayed a year, or maybe the cloud moved every day for a year. Can you imagine just moving and going on a 2-month journey, and then the cloud stops? And then 2 days later, after you've just rested and your feet are up on your footrest, huh? Ottoman, that's what it is, on your ottoman, and suddenly God says, hey, the cloud's moving. Say, you've got to be kidding me. I need a break. And God said, no, you don't need a break. You need to listen to divine signal. Why? Because in listening to divine signal is divine provision. Their feet did not swell. What normally should have wore them out. You know, recently, I've been in a lot of meetings with different pastors, and they're talking about burnout. And I'm thinking, okay, now, I understand burnout, because I have felt symptoms of that over 27 years. But I'm trying to figure out why they're burnout. Why is their foot swelling? The times my feet were swelling was when I wasn't listening to divine signal. Now, what we want to do is put that on the church or on my job or on my family or on my wife or on my husband. But the word says, when you listen to divine signal, your foot did not swell and your clothes did not wear out. So maybe I'm not picking up on the signal that I'm not loving my wife the way Christ loved the church. Maybe I'm not picking up on the signal that I'm not being a father to my son or my daughter the way I'm supposed to be. Maybe I'm provoking my children to wrath, and the Bible says fathers don't do that. Maybe I'm not listening to the signal that God says you should have given to that missionary last Sunday, and you didn't because you're too, greedy, or you love money more than you love me. We're not listening to the signals, and as a result, we're getting burnt out in life. I'm of the persuasion that if we listen to divine signal, we won't get burnt out. I know that's a risky statement to make, because a lot of people will contend that and say, I believe today we're in a high stress level and we're a high stress society. I know that. But I think we can maneuver through it. We can maneuver through it. Now, again, I'll use the analogy. Troy, you brought it up, so I'm going to use it. When there was 3.9 seconds left last night, this player for the Cavs got the ball. There were three defenders on him. Three. Not one guy. Three guys trying to keep him from getting the basket. What he did is he weaved through them and got to his goal. I believe when we listen to divine signal, no matter what the opposition is, God will weave you through it. You'll just weave through it. You say, man, I can't believe I got through that stuff, man. How'd that happen? I believe that. You'll weave through it, and you're going to win, even though the adversity is there. Because you and I'm going to talk about this Sunday, and I'll use the example of Cassius Clay. He changed his name to Muhammad Ali, remember? Cassius Clay. When Cassius Clay began to box, he made a declaration out of his mouth. You know what it was? I'm the greatest. Now, nobody else said that. He said that. But when opponents got into the ring with him, in their mind, they were thinking, good grief, I'm fighting the greatest boxer in the world. Out of his own self-proclamation. See, we tonight have to understand that divine signal makes us the greatest. Divine signal provides for us stress-free living. Divine signal will make sure that we hear the word of the Lord and depend on it more than we do any provision that the man or the natural world can provide, can give us. So we want to listen to divine signal. Let's look at one more. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 to 9. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths of that spring out of valleys and hills, and a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills thou mayest dig brass. And when thou hast eaten full and art full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. What is the benefit of divine signal? Number one, we solidify our walk with God in our heart. Number two, we recognize that we live off the word of the Lord. Number three, we realize that we can live stress-free living. Number four, we're going to obtain the promise that God has given us. And there is a good land that God has for you and me. But in order to get into the good land, we got to listen to divine signal, entering the promises of God. Let's talk about Jesus for a moment. You got a couple more minutes? The secret behind Jesus' success. Go to John chapter 7, verses 8 to 10. It's the secret behind Jesus' success, and it's the same secret behind yours and my success. Our failure is when we miss and we fail to listen to divine signal. But when we're hearing divine signal, success is coming for our life. Look at verse 8. And go ye unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. Jesus said, look, you go to the feast, but I don't get a divine signal that I'm supposed to go. I like that. I don't hear from God that I'm supposed to go. You all go. I'll come later. That's the secret of Jesus' success. It's the secret of his success in life. Let's continue to read. John chapter 7. And when he had said these words unto them, verse 9, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, they went, he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. You read throughout the scripture, there'll be times that Jesus is incognito. He's in secret. There are other times he doesn't go and the disciples go. There are times that Jesus is openly walking through the public. Hello, I'm Jesus. I'm here to do miracles. I'm the Son of God. And there's other times he's secretly walking through a crowd. Why is that? Because he said, well, let's look at it. I don't want to get ahead of myself. He listened for divine signals. He knew when to hold them. Right? You say, how did he know when to hold them? Because he had a divine signal. He had a divine signal when to be open, when to not be open. He had a divine signal to escape or a divine signal to remain. John chapter 8, verse 28. John chapter 8, verse 28. Then he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Okay, now I'm understanding. Divine signal come through the Word of God, come through prayer, come through a spiritual authority, come through a prophetic word, come through a donkey, come through some peculiar things. Okay? Let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Wait a minute here. What is this all about? It's about pleasing God. So I can really ratify the divine signal when I can ask, what I'm about to do, does it please God? Does this please God? If it brings pleasure unto him, then I'm pretty well assured that these divine signals are God, and I'm not being deceived. If it doesn't bring pleasure to the Lord, check. I'm not going to walk in that. And Jesus said, everything I do brings pleasure to my Father. See, what I'm about to do, does it please God? And if you can't answer that honestly, then don't go there. Divine signal is very important. Without following in divine signal, we will stymie the growth of the kingdom. It's all about God's directives. If you will, picture a command central in heaven. And God's saying, okay, my servant over here in Ohio, tell him to do this today. Get him over there in Kentucky to do that. Now get those four over there in Avon to do this, and Lorraine over there, and get that one over in Amherst over there, and tell him to do there. And over here, I want them to do that. Do you think God is that intricately involved in our life? Sure he is. He's not sitting back going, hey, que sera, sera, whatever will be. That's not God, right? God's commanding. And we're going, yes, sir. We're listening. Yes, sir. I hear that, sir. I will move, sir. I got the divine signal. Until you say go, I will stay. Till the cloud moves, I'm right here. When the cloud goes, I'm out of here. Go, stop, go, stop, go, stop, go, stop. All right, what's up, God? Just want to see what's in your heart. But I'm following that. Suddenly now I'm going, whoo, glory to God, man. I'm living on the word of God. What he's saying, I'm living on. Mom, look, my paycheck is proof of it. My raise is proof of it. My increase in my finances is proof of it. My relationship with my wife is proof of it. My kids, oh, it's proof of it. I ought to be burned out under the stress and the pressure I've been under. But I'm feeling good today. Hallelujah. I feel good. So how could that happen? Divine signal. See the benefits of divine signal. But understand the implications of divine signal. If God says, I want you to go speak to this person, and you go, eh, not today, not right now. What does that do to their life? What does that do to their life? If God's speaking to you, and there's a divine signal, pastors ask you to do it, you know, you heard it, read about it in the Word, about what that needs to happen within relationship to this ministry and things that are going on. You've heard a prophetic word preached, and you go, man, that's really God. And yet you continue to ignore the divine signal. What are the implications? What are the effects of us not following divine signal? Listen, if God's telling me, I wouldn't be going next week if it wasn't, I didn't feel like divine signal said to go to England to preach. I'm not going to go to England. I could preach anywhere. I'd preach on a street corner. I have to go to England all the way over there and preach, right? So why am I going? Say, well, I'd go too if I go to England. Man, that's pretty cool. I don't care about England. England's ugly. It's dreary. It's cold. It's like I'd rather go to Florida. So I'm going there because God said to go. I got to obey divine signal. Now, if I obey divine signal, I don't know who it is, what it is, or what the benefit's going to be, but there is benefit by me listening to divine signal. That unless I listen to it, it won't manifest. I don't want to go to Uganda this year. I don't like Africa. I mean, say what you want. I had one experience and it was bad. I was arrested by police with a gun in my face. My stuff was stolen. Money was stolen. I mean, it was a bad experience. You say, want to go back? No. I don't want to go back there. And then I get... As soon as I hear the Lord say, go to Uganda, I say, amen, I'm going to go. First thing I hear on the news is how two American missionaries were on a safari and the guide hacked them up with a machete. And I said, I didn't hear God about Uganda. I am not going to Uganda. That's interference in the signal. I know I heard God. And there's a pastor, we're going to start 1,000 churches. We're going to have pastors' conferences in 5 cities. I know I've got something to give that unless I give it, they're going to be incomplete. You say, well, who are you? I mean, God can send anybody. That's true, but he asked me to go. See, there was a man in the Bible in Acts chapter 8 called Ananias. Do you remember him? It was a man by the name of Ananias. It wasn't Joseph. It wasn't Pete. It wasn't Jude. It was Ananias. Nobody else could do this divine assignment through a divine signal. Ananias, there's a man over here I want you to go see. And when you go over there, I want you to lay hands on him, and I want you to pray for him. Hey, God, you got the wrong man. I've heard about this dude. He's a killer. Right? That's kind of paraphrased of the story. But until Ananias obeyed the divine signal, Paul would have stayed blind. You say, oh, that's not true. God used somebody else. Yeah, that's true. He would have. Because God's will ultimately be done. But listen what Ananias did by his obedience to divine signal. He released 2/3 of what you hold in your lap tonight by his obedience to divine signal. Had he not been obedient to divine signal, you and I wouldn't have the New Testament. So, well, I guess I better start listening to divine signal. Yeah. You see the implications of it? You see the potential of what is missed in this world? Guys, I want you to pray and intercede tonight. Say, Lord, I'd like to, but you know, I am really tired. I want you to read your words. I want you to go to church. I want you to be plugged into this ministry. I want you to do this. I want you to connect with this. I want you to join a choir. I want you to be part of this. Well, you know, I'd like to, but amen. Time out. Divine signal. Your feet are going to start swelling. You're going to start depending on the natural rather than the word of the Lord. You're going to start living off the natural, what man can do rather than on God's word. Let me tell you, when you live on God's word, everything else comes in play, and it just comes easy. Don't live a hard life. And some Christians are just living a hardship life. It's always a hardship life, and they're struggling. And I'm talking to these pastors, and they're burnt out. I said, I want to say, hey, I have every reason to be burnt out. You've got 25 people in your church. I've got that many in one row. And you're burnt out? You say, well, that's pretty arrogant, Pastor. No, wait a minute. I'm thinking, how can you be, what can 25 people do to you? I mean, how many hospital calls can you get out of 25 people? Once, twice a year? How many funerals? How many counseling sessions? How many home visitations? You could visit all of them in 2 days and not have to go back for a year. I mean, you run off 25 bulletins. Now, I'm not minimizing it, but I'm saying that's not the issue. The issue isn't the ministry. The issue isn't your job. The issue isn't your marriage. The issue isn't your past. The issue is, are you walking according to divine signal? And if you're not, you're hit. Bam. You say, well, how do you know that? I've lived it. I've tried living without divine signal, and I tried living with divine signal. Let me tell you, divine signal's better. You know, some people say, I've lived without money, and I live with money. Money's better. Divine signal's even better than money. Because when you get divine signal, in it is all your provision. So we're talking about how to walk in the supernatural, how to live in the supernatural. One man's disobedience, Acts chapter 9, verses 11 to 18. One man's obedience to divine signal paved the way for 2/3 of the New Testament. And the Bible calls him, this is what gets me in this scripture. The Bible calls him a certain disciple, Ananias. Just a certain disciple. Like, you back over there in the 14th row of the third seat over, you go pray for Paul. You mean he wasn't like the biggest, you know, most significant person in the church? No, just a certain disciple. The Bible didn't even call him a prophet. It didn't call him an apostle. Didn't he have a title? A certain disciple. Based on obedience to divine signal, opened up the 2/3 of the New Testament. Man, that's power. That is power. In 2 Corinthians 13:1, let everything be established in thy three witnesses. The word, the inner witness, spiritual authority, having this affirmation. Bob Mumford taught years ago the harbor lights of God's will. You know, the harbor lights, bringing in that big ship in the harbor. It's not the danger out in the middle of the sea. It's bringing that big ship and navigating it into the harbor and not wrecking it. You have to look at the lights. You have to make sure you're in the proper position to the lights. And the divine lights are a word from the Lord, affirmation of your inner witness and spiritual authority. You want to get the divine signals. I think it's important. I think it's important that we follow divine signal, prophetic word of the Lord. I think we ought to ask tonight as we close, what is it time for in my life? What is it time for? This morning we were in National Day of Prayer Observance with the school, Geraldine Bigley's son's school. We were invited to participate in that and pray with the student body. What a great student body, man. They really knew how to pray. And We kept looking at the clock in the morning, T and I. I said, man, we got to go. It's almost time. And I said, we got to be in the car by 8 a.m. We've got to be in the car. We're going to be late. So 8 o'clock. It was 8 o'clock on the clock, just 8:00. And we were walking out the door. I said, man, we are on time. You know, that's a good feeling for me. I hate being late. Do you like being late? I don't like church starting late. I don't like people being late. I don't like to be late. I want to be on time. How many like it when God's on time? How many know that God's never late? He's just not on the same time clock as you and I are. So what do we have to do? We have to synchronize our watches, our eternal clocks. Have I synchronized them, Lord? Am I in the divine timing of God? Am I in the divine timing of God? Where are you at tonight? Are you ahead of schedule? Are you behind? Are you just hanging out because you think it's right and it's been there for such a long time and you feel like this is what I've been doing, so I'm just going to stay here. It's comfortable. Are you in a comfortable place? Don't get comfortable. This walk with God will never let you get comfortable. You've got to keep moving, man. Hear the divine signal of God. I believe tonight the Holy Spirit is speaking to some people. I believe He's speaking to your heart and your heart. I believe way in the back as well. Some of you have been listening to this and you're saying, you know what? I've been hearing God, but I've been hesitating. How do I know it's really God? And those are tough questions. But I'll tell you how you know it's God. When you can do that acid test of John chapter 8. Lord, if I did this, will this please you? Does this bring pleasure to you? And if it says a resounding yes, then I believe it's God. The devil would never be telling you to do something that pleases God. He's not going to say, do it, do it, do it. Bring pleasure to the Father. He won't do that. Line it up with the Word of God and find out, is it bringing pleasure to God? Tonight, is that your heart's desire to bring pleasure to Him? In Revelation, I think it's chapter 4. We used to sing that song. I don't want to sing it now, though, but I just want to look at it. See if I can find it. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. We used to sing that song, and for Thy pleasure I was created. Are you ready to please God in a new way tonight? Hearing the divine signals of God. Some of you might be called to Bible college. Some of you might be called into missions work. You say, I never thought it could be me. I didn't think I could do that. Are you missing divine signal? Are you lame in one leg? Has the donkey smashed you up against the wall and you still don't get it? Has God been calling you to do something that's greater than your ability? And you've been wondering, is it really God? Get that affirmation of the Spirit. Follow after heart after God. I heard someone say once to me when I was trying to find out the will of God. He said, I'm going to tell you something. When you get obedient, it's like taking off lead slippers and putting on feather slippers. You'll be just walking so light and so free in God. This will be the time of your life. You'll begin to experience life like you never knew it was possible because you're in divine step. Because you and I are walking with divine signal and our confidence is being built. Come on, let's stand up and worship our King tonight. Hallelujah. Some of you join me tonight. Step out from where you are. Come around the front. Lift up your hands. Let's love on God tonight. Let's thank Him for sending us divine signals. Let's thank Him for certain disciples like Ananias, others who have paved the way for our life. Come on, let's worship Him. Let's worship Him. Just worship Him. Come on, everybody else. surrender yourself fresh to the Lord. Your holy presence. Sandy, sing it.
You've been listening to a message that emphasizes the reality and power of God's Word. Again, thank you for listening. If you would like further information on our ministries or other products available, visit us online at www.churchonthenorthcoast.org, or you may call us at 440-960-1100. In the meantime, may God richly bless you, and may His Word be alive in your life.